Has anybody seen Pastor Tim? That was Pastor Tim's job. So what had happened was, at the end of this song, Pastor Tim would come up, and during that time, while Pastor Tim was praying, I would put on my jacket. Thanks, Dad.
I'm taking care of it.
One of the many rules of being a pastor around here is plumbing when things go wrong. Pastor Tim is taking care of that, apparently. Well, now that we got all that out of the way, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. If you're new here, my name is Jordan. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Covenant Church. And today we're continuing our series called Connected, where we're studying Psalm 23 and see the relationship of the shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sheep, all those who believe in him. Did anybody have like a weird week this week? Like there, like a lot of like weird things happened that kind of caused you to stress out. I don't know if there was like 7 full moons this week, but last week we studied, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I found myself saying that, so I'm in trouble. I found myself saying that a lot this week. Anybody else just find yourself like, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Well, a lot had gone on this week. And I'll say it's nice to be here with adults, by the way. I just got back from Vero Beach last night. I was a guest speaker at a student conference. I got back at about 11:30 last night. But I was with a little over 100 middle schoolers all weekend, so it's nice to see some mature adult faces in the room. I'll try to make sure that I am speaking maturely as I have been, a little immaturely in the past 24 so hours. So, I had a lot of strange things happen this week, one of which was on Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning, I said, "The Lord is my shepherd," probably 25 times in a 4-hour period. Let me tell you what happened. I dropped my son off at school, as I do every weekday, about 7:30, 7:45, and as I'm leaving his school, heading back home, I see flashing red and blue lights in my rearview mirror. The Lord is my shepherd. So I pull over, and the officer does the usual routine, and he says, "License, registration, proof of insurance," which I, of course, gave up. And he said, "Sir, I ran your tag, and I pulled you over because your license is suspended." "What? Sir, that must be a mistake." I said, "Why? You know, there's got to be a reason." He said, "I don't know. Now that I have your license, I can run your license and go find out for you." So I said, "Okay, no problem." So officer goes back to his car. A couple minutes later, comes back and says, "Sir, your license is suspended because this vehicle doesn't have insurance." I said, "Sir, that's definitely a mistake. You know, proof of insurance, effective date." He says, "You know, sir, I can see that. The order that I have in my computer says to cease your driver's license and to cease your license plate because you have had a suspended license since November of 2016. I said, "Sir, there's a mistake. I can show you. Sorry, sir. This is just I'm just doing my job." So what you're going to have to do next is you are going to have to call a tow truck. This vehicle doesn't have any plates on it, so you can't drive it. I have to take your license. You cannot drive any other vehicles until you have a reinstated license. The Lord is my shepherd. Shout out one there. So I call a tow truck, get a tow truck, and go about the mile and a half I was from my house. And then I get in the cab of the tow truck driver, and then I get home. And I'm at home, and I get on my computer. I'm trying to figure out who I have to call to figure out what is going on. So I figure out I have to call the DMV, okay? Have any of you ever called the DMV before? Speaking of connected, it took me about 40 minutes to get connected to a human who would actually try to help me with my problem. So after I finally got through to somebody, they said, "Yes, sir, your license is suspended. It's been suspended since 2017 because you have not paid insurance on this vehicle." I said, "Ma'am, I have a statement in front of me showing that I've just paid my car insurance. I have my insurance card, my State Farm card with me. And she goes, sir, well, let's go over some of the details on your account. Can you please read me the policy number, the group number? It's just, I see what the problem is. Someone here made a clerical error and they entered in the wrong number. The Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. What do you mean? Well, somebody made a clerical error back in November, or October actually, when I purchased the vehicle, and never was the insurance ever entered into the deed of these records. Okay, ma'am, so what's next? Well, I've just reinstated your license. You're all good to go. Lord is my shepherd. I'm not all good to go because I don't have a license and a license plate anymore. Okay, sir, well, if you want to get that today, your best bet is to go to a DMV and get a new driver's license, $25, the Lord's my shepherd, and then go to a tag agency and get a new tag with a new DMV, which will cost $44, the Lord's my shepherd. Okay, so what do I do now? I got to call an Uber.
Because I have no car or driver's license, so I call an Uber. The Uber comes. His name's Donald. Donald is young and hip and cool, kind of hippie-ish. And so as I'm asked Donald to take me to the DMV that is on Pembroke and University. Have you ever been to the DMV on Pembroke and University? All right, I'll get there in a second. So, as I'm driving with Donald, I'm talking to my dad on the phone, telling him everything that had happened, just, you know, I'm frustrated, I'm trying to be, you know, kind, and I hang up the phone with my dad, and Donald's like, hey man, that stinks, bro. I'm like, yeah, Donald, thanks. The Lord's my shepherd. So we pull up there, and so we pull up to the DMV on University in Pembroke, and as we pull up, if you pull in just the normal way, you could see that there is like 150 people outside, wrapped around the building, all of them mad. This is like, now it's like 10 o'clock. All of them mad. And I'm like, wow. Donald's like, this stinks, bro. I'm like, yeah, I got it, Donald. Thanks for the ride, Donald. Thanks. So I get out of the car, out of Donald's car, and as I'm getting out, Donald's like, hey man, yo, why don't you just like call the cops and ask them for your stuff back? I'm like, thanks, Donald. I'm pretty sure it doesn't work that way, you know. So I get into this line that is just as long as it is from Jericho to Jerusalem, and I'm in the back, just kind of like, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What's going on here, Lord? I'm praying for some peace, but it's not coming. And then all of a sudden I hear this voice in the back of my head. Hey, man, why don't you call the cops and ask them for your stuff back? I'm like, Donald? And I could hear Donald, call the cops. All right, Lord, for whatever reason, you've placed Donald's voice in my head and I'm gonna call the cops. So I called BSO. Have you ever called BSO? It took a while to get, they have an automated system and they don't have one for we accidentally took all your stuff and because the DMV made a mistake because of your insurance, they don't have one of those buttons. So like after, you know, pressing each one to figure out, you know, who could help me, I'm still standing in line. I was there in line for about 45 minutes and had moved about 12 feet. And so I finally get a hold of somebody who could help me. She was very nice. And she says, well, I don't know if they'll release it to you, but I'll connect you to the Cooper City BSO office where your officer pulled you over. So I'm connected, and a very nice woman over at the Cooper City BSO office says, yeah, you know, I just explained to her everything. And she says, yeah, I have your stuff. And so I'm like, well, can you run it? Run my driver's license, run my plate, and see if it's okay. And if it is, can I come get it? And so she runs it. She's like, yeah, this driver's license, fine. You can come get it. Lord is my shepherd. Donald, yes. Okay, so I call another Uber. Donald's way gone by now. I call another Uber. His name's Warren. Warren comes and picks me up as I'm on my way over to Sterling and Palm. And so I get there, I ask Warren, I say, hey, if I re-enter my address for home, will you just like hang out here and wait for me? So this should just take a minute. So I run inside. Terry, who works the front desk at Cooper City BSO, says, here you go. I'm like, thanks, Terry. She's like, rough morning. I'm like, yeah, rough morning. She's like, okay, I'm sorry about that. I'm like, it's okay. So I get back, Warren takes me home, I put the plates on my car, put my license in my wallet, and 4 hours later, 11:30, I was back at church on a Wednesday. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It was quite a morning, very frustrating, and I found myself praying for peace through that whole situation. And then I thought, oh, Lord, how appropriate. And it's actually my dad. When I call my dad, I'm like, Dad, why? This is so annoying. Why is this happening? He goes, hey, maybe it's a sermon illustration. I was like, okay. Which happens to be the second verse of the psalm that we're studying has to deal with peace. We're studying Psalm 23, verse by verse, week by week. Last week was, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This week says, what does that mean for you? You know, peace is something that we're all always desiring. Am I right? Especially if you understand the word peace. The word peace means without disturbance. Life without disturbance, a peaceful life. And we all desire that. I mean, there's a whole movement in the 1960s, peace, man, peace. And it's something that we desire. And we get to experience peace throughout our lives, simple moments of peace, whether we're on vacation, reading a book before bed, just have a calm moment, doing yoga, whatever it is that you find your moment of some time without disturbance. But either way, it seems like disturbances seem to always break that peace at some point. Just when we think everything's going great, something happens. Something disturbs that moment of peace. Some sort of chaos enters our life. You know, whether it's financial struggles or a sickness or a broken relationship, where you feel that temptation, that sin that you have been struggling with for so long, it starts creeping back up. If you're like me, chaos seems to follow us often. But as a sheep in the flock of the Good Shepherd, I am told that there is peace in abundance when I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to be looking at today. Our scripture this morning is Psalm 23, verse 2. Hear the word of the Lord. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. This finishes the reading of God's word. The illustration that we have this morning of the shepherd and the sheep continues, and it's expanded here. Again, as I said last week, you can see how personal this poem is between the psalmist, who we believe is David, and the Lord. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, for he makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. So again, speaking of sheep, there's an author and a minister named W. Philip Keller. He was a great minister, a great author. He died only about 20 years ago. And besides being an author and a minister, he was also really into horticulture and agriculture. And actually on his land, he had a farm and he had sheep. So he was an author, minister, and shepherd. He actually wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. I highly recommend it as we go through this series. It's like $5 on Amazon for this off. It's a short book. So he makes me lie down in green pastures. Philip Keller speaks to this as a shepherd. And he says, it's almost impossible to make sheep lie down unless four requirements are met. One, owing to their own timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fear. Number two, because of the social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others of their kind. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when they're free of these pests can they relax. Lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. A sheep will not lie down unless it is free of fear, friction, flies, and famine. They won't lie down if they're hungry, if they're being annoyed by flies and parasites, if there's friction with the other sheep, and if they're scared. The psalmist said that it is the good shepherd who makes it available for me to lie down in green pastures. You see, the only one who could deliver a sheep from these things. The only one who could provide peace, deliverance, and a pasture is their shepherd. The only way that they wouldn't be scared is the protection of their shepherd. The only way they wouldn't be hungry is if a shepherd led them to a pasture. The only reason they wouldn't be annoyed is if the shepherd was protecting them. It's peace. The shepherd's providing peace. You know, peace comes a little more seldomly to me as a father of a two-year-old than it used to. I reminisce on the days when my wife and I would just Netflix for hours on end, just Netflix, just a couple of vegetables on the couch. Peace. But before we would sit down, we wouldn't just hit Netflix and then start getting the popcorn ready and then, you know, get the blanket out of the dryer and then get the pillows ready and then make sure we have our drinks. You know, we would prepare all that. You'd have all of it around you. Okay, popcorn's right here, soda's right here, pillows right here, blankets right here. Netflix. It would be prepared for me. I would prepare it. It's okay. I would prepare myself for the peaceful moment. And so the shepherd would do much of the same. He would prepare a place for the sheep to experience peace. With that in mind, this peace that the Lord speaks of is not just the Netflix sort of peace. It's a peace that can calm any storm. It's a peace that's unfathomable to mankind, for we are finite and he is infinite in his peace. Listen to the way the Apostle Paul speaks of the peace that's found in Jesus Christ. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say, rejoice. "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." That's the peace that the Good Shepherd provides, an unfathomable peace, a peace that cannot be disturbed. It's hard for us to even make sense of that kind of peace. But the shepherd has provided all the necessary provisions for his flock to find rest. So the passage goes on. Where do we find rest? He makes me lie down. Where? In green pastures. Now, green pastures, the Hebrew translation for green pastures, is a tender, grassy dwelling or habitation. So where the good shepherd would lead his flock is into a place where there was grass everywhere, and they could dwell there freely. And this grass would not only be tender, good for laying down, but it would be a nutrients for the sheep. So the sheep would enter this pasture, and if they're lying down, they're full, right? If they're lying down, they're not scared. If they're lying down, they're at peace because they're not afraid of anything. They're fully satisfied. But not only are they laying down, but they're in this green pasture where it has an abundance of provision for them. So yeah, they're full, but they're also not worried about the next meal. They're not scared. They know that their good shepherd has led them into a place of abundant provision. He is a good shepherd. And he's caused them to lay down in the green pastures. You see, this text is just soaked with the peace and provision and abundance of life that we could have when we trust in Christ. You know, it's interesting that the psalmist starts with this whole idea of resting. That's where he goes to first. Yes, there's a lot of responsibility as Christians. We've spent 7 weeks talking about putting our faith into motion by loving others, right? We talked about putting our faith into action by showing mercy to those who God places in your path. We talked about that, but it's interesting to see how the psalmist says, rest. That's where he starts. And I think that says a lot about the Lord's desire for us to rest in Christ before anything else. Rest in Christ first. you know, the Lord, you know, he knows about your busy week that you just had. The Lord knows about your busyness. The Lord knows about the stress of life. The Lord knows about your financial struggles. The Lord knows about your illness. You know, the Lord knows all these things. The Lord knows those sins and those temptations. But the peace of God that transcends all understanding is what the Lord wants you to know. That's what he wants you to know. And it's not just here in Psalm 23. It's plastered all over the pages of Scripture. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. Listen to this quote. I quoted him last week. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the Good Shepherd speaking. That's Jesus speaking. Jesus is calling us, the Good Shepherd, and he's saying, "Come to me. I know you don't feel worthy. I know you feel lost. I know you're prone to wander, but I am your Good Shepherd, and so come here. Come here, I'll show you a green pasture where you can rest." So how do we respond to this call to come rest? Well, the second part of our scripture tells us. It tells us that we are to listen to his voice and let him lead us. Do we trust Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 26, verse 12, when he said, "O Lord, you will ordain peace, for you have indeed done for us all our works." You see, peace is not only accessible for you, it's already prepared and it has been ordained. You don't have to do anything to get it. It's been provided for you. When Christ defeated sin and death for all of eternity, that gives you victory and you can rest in that truth in Christ. And I'll tell you, in a world that floods you, in this world that floods you with busyness, deception, false perceptions, temptation, and sin, Jesus, who was called the Prince of Peace, reminds us that he is our shepherd and you shall not want. Rest in him. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What does that mean? He fully satisfies. So then he goes on to say, he leads me by still waters. He leads me by still waters. You know, again, just like the green pasture, still waters would not only be a source of life, like all humans and all living kind, we need water, but it would be nutrients. It would be a source of life. It would be nutrients. It would also be a blessing. You know, still waters were good for a sheep to drink out of. Why? Because rushing waters were dangerous. Rushing waters could potentially pull a sheep in, causing him to fall into this rushing water, leaving him to certain death. So a good shepherd would lead his sheep into still waters, not to destructive waters, correct? And even if there was only rushing waters before us as a sheep, a flock of sheep, you know what a good shepherd would do? Gather logs and rocks and build a dam, causing these rushing waters to become still waters. Do you see, again, how the relationship between a sheep and a shepherd, why he uses that to describe our relationship with him? The rushing waters of your life, I will lead you to still waters. I will calm these rushing waters for you. I am your shepherd. I'm going to protect you. I'm not going to lead you down paths of destruction like this world does. The world, the bad shepherd, leaves you in paths of destruction. The word for he leads me in Hebrew is gently guides, as if the Lord is the small of your back, leading you into blessings, into safety, into provision. He wants to satisfy our thirst. The Lord desires for you to trust him. So when he says, "Come here, I will lead you beside still waters," in order for me to follow a shepherd, I would have to trust him, right? Do we trust the Lord? Do we trust the Lord to quench our thirst? Now, that's important, a quenching of thirst, because let me tell you a little something about yourself. When you were created to thirst, not just physically, but emotionally. You were created with desires of longing. You were created to desire something. All of mankind has been created this way, and you know it. The problem is when we go to quench our thirst from the wrong waters. I'm speaking of personal experience. That when the chaos hits my life, and I need to be, and I'm longing for something, that we drink from destructive waters. And we go to what the world and the bad shepherd offers us. And instead of seeking the peace and the guidance and the leadership of the good shepherd who offers satisfaction and peace, why do we go to what the world offers, the bad shepherds, which leaves us empty and destroyed? This verse is about two things. It's about two basic principles of a shepherd and his sheep. Rest and trust. Rest and trust. Listen to John 14, 27. Jesus is about to be crucified. And he says to his best friends, to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." He says, my peace is so much different than everywhere you have looked for peace throughout your entire life. You've looked for peace in everything but me. And where has it left you? He says, my peace is perfect, never failing, unending, fully satisfactory. My peace will comfort you. So trust me, trust me. Let me lead you by still waters. Listen to the call of my voice and come here. All who are heavy laden, who are labored, who need to find rest, come here. And I will give you rest. You know, it's interesting where, if you look at scripture, if you look at the Psalms chronologically, the Psalm right before Psalm 23 is Psalm 22. And listen to how it starts. My God, why have you forsaken me? Same psalmist. Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Obviously, those words sound familiar. My God, why have you forsaken me? Are the same words Jesus cried out as he died on the cross. So this is a foreshadow of the crucifixion of Jesus. Psalm 22, Psalm of affliction. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. Now, if you look at Psalm 24, which I have up there, you can kind of read through it. I'm not going to read all of it. It's about 10 verses, but it's labeled in your Bible as the King of Glory. A psalm of triumph and victory. Do you see the progression of those three psalms right there? And tell me that's not the gospel. Psalm 22, affliction. Affliction. Lost, wandering, drinking from destructive waters. Something happens. Psalm 23, rest. Trust in me. I am your good shepherd. Psalm 24, victory over sin and death forever and ever. You and your fallen nature, Christ dying for your sins. You here now, knowing that you have been saved from your sin, that you have been led to still waters, that you have peace in Christ living in this world. You, when you either die or Jesus comes, and victory in the throne room of grace forever. It's the gospel. As we said last week, a connection is a relationship where one thing is linked to another. And if you have any desire whatsoever to have a deeper understanding and a more intimate relationship with the shepherd, with the good shepherd, with Jesus Christ, the connection, the way, the tools to do that is his word and by his spirit. I am telling you this as your pastor because I care for you. But if you want a deeper connection and relationship with the Lord and you are not reading his words, his very active words that he's given us, all of who he is and what he's done, and if you're not relying on the Holy Spirit to apply that to your life, then there's no way that that relationship is going to be strengthened. This is how he does it. If you are reading, if you are praying, and you're saying, God, help me, I don't understand, send me a sign, what does this all mean? And you aren't reading God's word, do you know what it's like? It's like making a call, they pick up, and you turn your phone upside down, and you said, hello? Hello, hey, can you hear me? Hello, hey. I guess they're not there. Where are you leading me? What is happening? What's the problem? I'm not listening. And if we are just praying and just praying, yes, God's listening, but he's responding to you in his word. And so if you want to strengthen your connection with the Lord, if you want to understand more and more where that peace is, how you can experience that peace, if you want to trust in the Lord for real, seek his word. How do you listen to the Good Shepherd's voice? It's here. It's by his spirit. Father God, I thank you for your word. Forgive us, Lord, because we often think that we can find peace in this world because we can often seek comfort in the things of this world, and we listen to the bad shepherds, we listen to sin, we listen to destruction, and we forget about the peace that you offer us. Lord, I pray that understanding that we are a sheep in your flock, that we would learn to listen to your voice when you call us, by searching your word, by praying that your spirit would move in our hearts, Lord, and that we would trust you to guide us into still waters. Lord, any of us here that are struggling with the rushing waters, the destructive waters of this world, Lord, I pray that you would still them. Lord, that you would still those waters and bring us peace. We thank you, Lord, that we can call out to you and you rescue us, that you are the shepherd that pursues his sheep. And so we give you praise. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.